Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, friends. I'm Leanne Heiss, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Moms in Prayer podcast today. We are having a fantastic conversation with David Eaton. David is the CEO and founder of Axis. Axis is an organization that is in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and they are fascinating. Their mission is to empower the next generation to think clearly and critically about what they believe and to take ownership of their faith. If ever there was a time for this ministry, it's now. What I love about Axis Ministries is that they don't bypass parents while training kids. Actually, their ministry really is to parents to help equip and resource them to disciple and transfer legacy to their children as they face questions and challenges. And so you're going to hear more about that as our conversation continues. I just want to warn you that you are probably going to want to take notes today. It is a fascinating conversation. But just to remind you, all of our show notes are on our blog at momsinprayer.org on Mondays right after the show launches. So you head on over and you can get all the notes and all the links to access on that website. So go ahead, enjoy this conversation with David Eaton. Hey, David.
Hey.
I'm so glad you're here with us, friend. And in the room today with us is Esta Tro. Esta is the Director of Communications and Partnerships at Moms in Prayer. And I could not imagine having this awesome conversation with anyone else except my friend Esta. So Esta, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, so glad to be here. I cannot wait for this conversation. Thanks, Lee.
No, I'm so excited. So David, you're front and center, we're sitting in your office, and okay, wise one, we want all of your wisdom. Tell us little bit about you and about the genesis of Axis.
Yeah, again, welcome to my office. It's kind of fun to have you guys here. Axis started 10 years ago, and I was a 23-year-old man, so I still am a man, but 10 years later. And we started Axis because I had friends that I went to high school with, and we were on mission trips together, we were in Christian bands together, and then when we went off to college, I just had a handful of my buddies just totally implode. Stop following Jesus, self-proclaim agnostic or atheist, and I just said, what is going on? I mean, here you have this mass exodus from the church, stop following Jesus. I believe that, you know, following Jesus leads to life, so if you're, you know, sin will destroy you, and seeing my friends just totally depart from that broke my heart, and I started to say, how could I be a missionary to a missing people group, to a lost people group, which is the Western teenager? And so my idea was just like, hey, there are so many smart people that are out there. What if I were just to take some of their ideas and translate that in a way that my friends could understand? And so that's really the genesis. And so 10 years ago, we just started traveling and just started saying, and so when we were traveling, we took a team with us. And so the team were all millennials. You know, and back in the day when a millennial was, you know, 22, or when I was 23, and we were just saying, how can we serve our own generation? Then, 10 years later, after we've spoken to over 200,000 students face-to-face, mainly in the United States, but in Canada, and we have a team going to Bolivia here soon, and we just realized, especially as we started having kids at Axis, there is no one more influential, more leveraged, more efficient than a mom or a dad in the life of their kid. So we started saying, how can we equip the most efficient, most influential person in a teen's life? How can we take what we know from being face-to-face with all these students and put it in the hands of parents?
Okay, you just said there is no one more influential, more leveraged, more efficient than a mom or dad in the life of their kid. And I find that so encouraging. But if I'm honest, I don't always feel the most influential or leveraged in the life of my teenager.
Oh, you probably feel that way frequently, and that's okay, and that's normal. And you should know that's for all the moms who are listening to this right now. It's okay to feel uncool, and it's okay to be like, what's going on? I mean, Axis actually exists to resource you to have face-to-face discipleship moments with your kid. So as you think about it, you know, like, don't spend tons of energy trying to figure out all the stuff that's out there. If you can outsource the research to us, I mean, there's 26 of us who wake up every morning morning thinking about your kid, but we're not going to have that relationship. But my favorite story to tell is there was a young lady who came up to us and said, I've only had one real conversation with my dad. And we're like looking at this 30-year-old young woman and we're like, you've only had one conversation with your dad? Like, that is not good. That is very bad. Also, what is more interesting about that is that her dad is on the board at Access, and her dad was a Christian university president for 20 years. And you're like, no wonder the faith is being lost in translation if I thought this man of God can't even have a real conversation with his daughter. But then she paused and she smiled and she had a twinkle in her eye. And she said, I've only had one real conversation with my dad. Pause. But we've never stopped having that one conversation. So mommies and daddies are going to have a 60-year conversation. They're going to have one conversation that lasts a lifetime. Grandmas and grandpas are going to have a 30-year conversation. And for those of you who are listening to this, at Access we have a couples board. So this husband and wife that I was just talking about who are having this one conversation with their daughter, the mom, her name is Lynn Brown, and she is a faithful Moms in Prayer mom who attends every single week. She is a leader, and she's in North Carolina. And Lynn, we love you at Access. So glad you're on the board. So we like Lynn. So yeah, you're gonna have one conversation. You're gonna have one conversation with your kids.
That.
And you're gonna spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's gonna be the hardest thing, one of the hardest things you ever do, and you're gonna love it. And from that, and you don't wanna have two conversations with a 10-year gap when your kid becomes a teen.
Right.
And so entering into that space can be kind of scary, and everyone talks about it being super hard, but it's also this beautiful time. They're experiencing abstract thought and going through all these changes in their brain and in their body, and it's a wonderful place for mom and dad just to hang in there and have those fabulous conversations. You don't have to fix them overnight, and honestly, it's really scary when your kid starts to question the faith, especially through those ages. You should celebrate their doubt. Celebrate their doubt. Not the willful kind of doubt, but the kind of doubt that says, I don't know if that's true. You want your 14-year-old asking that question. You want your 13, your 17-year-old, because you want them to question that and in the lab of your home before they leave. So you have a chance to say, well, what do you mean by that? Ask them a question back. And so enter into the conversation. You don't have to solve it overnight. Don't be worried they're going to become an atheist because God can't handle their doubts or you can't handle their doubts. You can handle it. Just say, hey, I don't know the answer to that either. Let's figure it out.
And I think sometimes people, the reaction is fear, is say, oh no, I'm afraid. So the reaction is either don't say anything at all about it and pretend it didn't happen, or just say, that's not a good question to ask, or it's not a good answer. So,
or how dare you doubt that?
Exactly. So, you know, once you go into that conversation, what are some of the things besides, I don't know how to respond to that? What are some of the other things you can do? Or what does a conversation kit look like that you provide for people?
Yeah. So you mentioned a conversation kit. I'll get to that here in a second. I think the posture is really important. If you're just riddled by fear, then you might want to ask yourself what God you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to take a step back, because if that's how you're living, then that's not a very good gospel. The gospel that we have is a redemptive gospel, is a reconciliation gospel, is a gospel of hope, and it's a gospel of mission. So if you are just scared to death of hell, and you're just trying to get your kids to say, I'm a Christian, just so you can say, oh, they're not going to hell. Well, that's great. I get that. I feel you on that. But also, you want to make sure, what are they being saved to? Like, what are they looking forward to? So you don't want your fifth grader to be like, I got saved, and now I'm just waiting until I turn 80 so I can die and so I can go to heaven.
Right, there's so much more than that.
That Absolutely. Gospel has no mission. You Absolutely. Want your gospel to have mission. So on a very practical level, the way that we think about this at Access is you always want to invite them into something grander, something better. And so think of what you're afraid of. So I'm afraid of my kid smoking weed. I'm afraid of my kid, whatever, fill in the blank, sleeping around in high school. So instead of just saying, don't do that, try to think of how are you going to cultivate their imagination of something better, something more fulfilling, something more satisfying. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Mm. So does your gospel have life to it? Does it have creativity? Does it have beauty? Does it have goodness? Is it something desirable? I mean, there's plenty of opportunities when you listen to songs or watch movies to say, like, is that going to lead to life?
That's such a good question to ask our kids and ourselves. But our kids are growing up in a totally different world than we did. And I know from my experience working with women across America that fear's a real problem. Sometimes even I'm afraid or floored by what I read about the evil things that my kids are facing today. So What's one thing you would recommend we do when we learn about another crazy thing?
There's always something new, right? So yeah. First of all, sign up for the Culture Translator. If you're listening to this, go to axis.org, axis.org/CT. Culture Translator comes out every Friday. It'll take you 3 or 4 minutes to read. It's in your email, and you will feel, hopefully you don't feel scared or anxious when you open it, but it's going to inform you on what's going on in your kid's world and how to have great conversations about that. And Are you ladies on the Culture Translator?
Yeah, and that's huge because right now, I mean, it's not like everybody's watching television together in a room anymore. They're watching YouTube instead of television. You know, so you don't even know what's going into their brain. So that's why it's important to
You can't police everything anymore.
Can't.
I mean, because you have this rectangle that's hanging from the wall or it's in your pocket or it's in grandparents are buying their grandkids iPads when they're 8 or 9 years old. Schools are going to one-on-one initiatives and just handing out iPads. And if they haven't thought about it before, like some schools that we've interacted with, you have these crazy stories of like, you just handed our kids iPads and an eighth grader showed my sixth grader porn today.
Exactly.
I'm going to kill your eighth grader. Wait, you just threatened to kill this kid, but also, you know, like there's this loss of innocence. So what do you do when you have that anxiety or that fear or that stress? I think something great is to like hold that emotion and be self-aware, first of all. Like, I am feeling freaked out right now. Don't just react, just hold it. So just imagine it's like a basketball or a volleyball in your hand. You're just holding it, and then invite God into it. And say, God, I am feeling this way right now, and that feeling is real, and I don't want you to deny that. And oftentimes, like, you see some of the challenges that students are facing is because they don't know how to cope with their emotion. And they're having these very, very, very intense feelings. And so if you can't model that as a parent to say, hey, it's okay for you to feel. Like, that's great. God's not scared of that. Let's talk about it. Let's work through it and say, where is this coming from? And then to kind of work backwards from that point. So I think it's always going to get intense. Things are going to change. I think people used to think, oh, we can just hide. You know, like, we can just hide things from our kids. We're just going to homeschool our kids. Well, if your kid has access to a smartphone or their friend has access to a smartphone, you can't just hide anymore. It's coming into your home. So the opportunity is, hey, you want to have that conversation first. And so you want to be able to own that if you can. And I think something huge, and we'll talk about this multiple times in this, is your kid needs to know from a very early age that they can tell you anything. And you need to tell it to them. And then when they do tell you something,
don't act shocked.
Yeah, you pull out the I'm not shocked face. And so I got that from Greg and Penny Hunter, and I've been talking about that for a while. I love that piece of advice from them, but you practice the I'm not shocked face. So, Dad, I saw there was two girls at the school. They were kissing. They're making out. Practice the I'm not shocked face. Or, you know, hey, Mom, when I go to the bathroom at school, like there's always three kids in one of the stalls vaping, and they're juuling or whatever, and you're like, practice the I'm not shocked face, and then say, well, tell me more. Ask that question and invite that conversation, and then jump back over on the Axis website or go check out our parent guides, you know, axis.org/guides, and go see, oh, cause there's this parent guide on what is vaping? Is it worse than combustible cigarettes? Like, how do I think about this? How do I not show up ignorant? Because I think that's probably scary, right? You want to know the language. I feel this way, you know, I'm like 34 now. And I'm a youth pastor, and I was having dinner with my youth pastor kids, and they're like, yeah, we totally catfished that kid the other day. And I was like, I have no idea what that means. Like, what do you mean you catfished that kid? Is that a bad thing? Is that a sexual thing? Is that a funny thing? Like, I didn't know how to react. So, yeah, and catfish just means they acted like someone else online. So they faked them out. This guy was asking a 14-year-old girl for nudes, and she responded back like she wasn't a girl and was some guy, and they totally joked him. And you know what the guy's response to her was? Why don't you just act like the other girls and just send me nude pictures? That's what's, I mean, like, sexting is blowing my mind right now, because that is how you know you are liked. That's how you know you are valuable. At least that's what girls are telling us. So we were at a school, and the 14-year-old little skinny cute girl, the boys were just, send us nudes, send us nudes, send us nudes, send us nudes. No, 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 no. Finally, she does. And then, of course, now she's a slut, right? Mm-hmm. What a slut. She just sent it. I mean, like, so you send the nudes, and they pass it all around. But this is where the plot thickens. And this is where it gets, the opportunity is insanely good for a Christian parent, is the other girls were saying, the other girls who aren't the skinny, cute 14-year-old are like, I wish guys would ask me for nude photos. And so all of a sudden, if you can hear that as a mom and say, well, why? Well, I want to be loved. Mm-hmm. I want affirmed. I want to be affirmed. I want to know I'm valuable. Mm-hmm. And so the cry of this 14-year-old girl's heart, whether the one who's been called a slut or the one who wishes the boys ask her for nude photos, is someone needs to affirm my value. I want to be wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's a very natural, good, wonderful thing to embrace and say, yeah, let me tell you why you're valuable and why I love you and why you don't need to lower yourself to these little 14-year-old boys who want to see you naked just so they can hold that over you.
And so that's, I think, the key is for parents to know you can enter into the conversation and have that valuable conversation if you could hold on to your emotion, not overreact, so that the next time they won't come to you to have those valuable conversations. I think that's what it boils down to, right?
Yeah, you don't want them to freak out. And if you are having that, I mean, proprioception, really crazy word. I've been learning about psychology stuff recently. It's just like when your body reacts to something. So all of a sudden your kid says this and all of a sudden you just feel really hot in your chest and your neck and you feel your fist clench, right? And you got to be saying, okay, I have to be self-aware right now. I have to realize I am passionate about my child. I want to protect and love them. But the best way for me to continue this is for me to realize what's going on, cool it, maybe step away for a little bit, maybe give it 24 hours, maybe call my best girlfriend or call my mentor, the mentor grandfather or grandmother in my life and say, what do I do? And I will say there is a secret. If you have grandparents in your kid's life, utilize them. Mm-hmm. Bring them in and invite them not to spoil your child, but to invest in them. There is a beautiful thing that happens with grandparents. They're not as personally invested in the moment as parents are, from what I've seen. They're just not gonna freak out and throw stuff. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they're like, look, this is my second time around. This is your kid, mm-hmm. my grandkid. They have that slower pace, but man, you wanna see someone love a grandchild? It's that grandmother. She will spend money on any biblical thing to influence that child.
Well, and that's what we see at Moms in Prayer, mm-hmm. is that grandmas in prayer pray the house down. It's like one thing to mess with a mama bear.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother thing to mess with a grandma. I mean, they're like, enemy, bring it. I mean, like, they're just very strategic prayers, and they're very invested.
What would it take for a grandmother to kill someone? That's what I think of, is I have like hot tears in my eyes, proprioception, right? Nothing unless her grandchild is threatened. Mm-hmm. And then it is on. Mm-hmm. She's going to lay down her life for that kid. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of moms and grandmas. You're gonna do it. You're gonna fight and you're gonna get hurt a lot, but you're gonna be there for your kid 10 years from now when that really cool coach isn't gonna be there. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be there when that cool youth pastor with the hot wife, where they, and you know, I always feel like youth pastors always have to say, my wife is so beautiful. It's just like, shut up, man. Tell me that your wife is intelligent, for once. You know what I'm saying? Not that youth pastors don't have intelligent, wonderful wives. They do. I'm sure I'm getting in trouble. But it's just like, hey, bro.
Dig out, David.
Hey, bro, nice flannel, nice goatee. Stop talking about your hot wife. Yeah, but when that youth pastor leaves after 18 months, right? Because that's kind of the tenure there. Mom and dad are going to be there. When the cool physics teacher, whatever, 4 years in school, that's great. You got to surround your kids with these other wonderful adults who will say the same thing you've been saying, and even better. I was interviewing Dr. Tim Keller. That sounds really cool. It was a big day for me. Big day. I was trying not to like fanboy too hard on the thing, but anyways, he's like, let me tell you a secret. I'm like, yes, Dr. Keller, you tell me a secret. And he's like, if you want to influence the next generation, just put someone in their life that's a few years older than them who's following Jesus. Because there's something incredibly valuable about that peer mentor who is able to model what it looks like. Because your kid may believe that it's true, they just may not believe that it's possible. They need to see that the gospel is possible and meaningful and life-giving. And you can be really short-sighted when you're 16. Can I get an amen? I mean,
amen.
You guys remember that?
Yes. I think we were just having a good conversation about that.
And they want to see how it's done. They don't know. They can understand it, maybe. They don't want to see how it's done.
So, David, I'm hoping that we continue this partnership long in the future so that we can continue to come back and have conversations about how to pray in the middle of this season of life that we're in, walking the next generation into wholehearted Christ following. But for right now, give us some practical tips about the smartphone, because really, if there's an issue today, it's this thing that they're carrying around in their pockets.
we're all carrying around in our pockets.
Well, right.
We all have ours really close to us right now in this room.
Yep.
When we go to sleep at night, it's probably right next to us on the bedside table. It might be the first thing you touch in the morning, the last thing you touch at night. You bring it to the bathroom with you. I mean, it's just like, it's with you. Like, it's an extension of who we are. So even if you're in your 30s or your 40s or your 50s, I mean, it's, you have to admit, it's a pretty amazing tool.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned prayer, I wanted to, this is kind of, I'm gonna trust that this is providential. This morning I was talking to a mom, and I was asking her, you know, how are you using Access stuff? And she said, well, when I get the culture translator, I know that's my prayer sheet.
Oh, wow.
And so that's like, that was her starting point, is like, this is gonna be a chance. I mean, right now I've been watching Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez. They used to live together in a relationship. They've both gone through some crazy times. They're both having this really interesting faith awakening. Justin Bieber's like hanging out with pastors and singing worship songs.
And I saw that too.
And crazy, right? And then Selena Gomez is breaking up with The Weeknd, and because she wants to follow, The Weeknd is an artist for those of you who are listening, because she wants to follow Christianity, follow God more, and invest more in that. So it's like, okay, so you hear about that, and you're like, okay, that's interesting. And you can say, look at those stupid kids. Why haven't they gotten their life together? Mm-hmm. Or you can be that mom who says, my prayers are being answered.
Mm-hmm.
I've been praying for Bieber. I've been praying for Selena for a long time. I'm so glad that God is reaching their heart. I hope that's, you know, I hope it's going to be good. You know, I hope they stick to it. And then you get to have that conversation with your kids where you say, hey, tonight, guys, before we have dinner, for the 3 nights a week you have dinner together, if you're a busy and tired family, say, hey, let's pray for Justin Bieber, and let's pray that God captures his heart and keeps it. You know, that kind of thing shows like, oh, there's a bigger picture here, Mom. There's a bigger picture. Like, so anyways, back to the smartphone. Okay, so I'm assuming that many people are listening to this right now on the smartphone. You know, like, that's pretty cool, right? Even some of our Access resources, my word, there was a missionary in Papua New Guinea who's using our resources because there are people who don't have clean water, but they have smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on now.
Right?
Like, that's weird. So I think the starting point, there's four big conversations. The first huge conversation that you have to have about anything is you want to be in a position of hope and not fear. You want to be in a position where you're not the whiny mom who's always complaining about stuff. Instead, you're looking for the truth, beauty, and goodness in that rectangle and saying, wow, isn't that an amazing tool? Isn't that an amazing device? Many people start off by looking at technology in general, social media in general, and just saying, oh, it's just neutral. No, it's not neutral. Do not start off. If you're saying it's neutral, I would say that's not a Christian worldview, not a biblical worldview. Instead, say that thing is very good. Why? Because God made the world very, very, very good. And so this, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill it, cultivate it, take care of it. And so this is like an example of incredible ingenuity and cultivation by humanity to make this part of technology. But the story doesn't end there.
Mm-hmm.
So start off by saying, it's very good, Mama. Okay, so impart that hope. The second thing is say, all right, we know that it's also cursed. And we know that because humans brought sin into the world, you know, so this very good thing is also cursed. And then you tie into this idea of Jesus, who comes in and brings redemption and is bringing the hope of the renewal of all things. So say, how do we redeem it? So conversation number one with whatever the new thing is, by the time that you're listening to this, who knows? Who knows what the new app is, what the new device is, what the new whatever is. But start off by saying, man, that's very good. Here's how it's very good. Here's how it's cursed. And then here's how we can redeem it as a family. You are like owning the narrative at that point. You're zooming out and contextualizing, you're framing it in there instead of just saying, oh, that's cool, let's try it out, let's play with it, let's have fun. Well, that's good too, but like, give it that bigger narrative, that bigger story.
Okay, but now they ask for apps, David, that I don't have time to look through. I mean, we hear horror stories of kids younger than mine, 8-year-olds, coming across porn in the middle of an app, and they're playing something that the parents thought was okay, educational,
right.
Just some entertainment.
But there's an app, or there's an ad on it,
yes.
That kicks you out to the internet, that kicks you out to another ad, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
Okay, so I say, this is good, but how do I make sure that I don't turn this thing into the enemy?
The smartphone into the enemy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, well, I'd rather the smartphone be the enemy than you be the enemy.
Fact.
So, like, I want you to win, and I want to win. For crying out loud, I had a dad come up to me the other day, and he had married this wonderful woman. they had both been divorced before. And so she had two kids, a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old daughter. And so the stepdad feels kind of helpless right now because he's the new guy in town. And he says, my wife feels defeated at least once a week and there's nothing I can do about it. That sucks. Am I allowed to say sucks on the Moms in Prayer podcast?
Sure.
I am so sorry, Sally Burke, forgive me. Okay, so you don't want to feel defeated every week and you don't want to feel like you're the enemy. But, you know, look, you're the parent. You're not their best friend. Mm. If you get to be their best friend sometimes, that's really cool. But God has called you to be the parent and to steward and cultivate them.
Absolutely.
When you cultivate the world, it might be called technology. When you cultivate your son or daughter, it's called discipleship. So you gotta step in there. But I think that brings the second question. And you know, especially if your kid is like likes control or likes to try new things, like put the ball in their court. So the second conversation you have, first one is very good, curse, redeem. The second conversation is what is it for? So what is it for? What's a smartphone for? Is this actually making us better humans or not? Is this increasing the intimacy and connection that I have, that I'm made for, the relationships that I need? Or is it making me more anxious, more depressed, more scared than ever before, more fear of missing out than ever before? Mm-hmm. So what is it for? I mean, steak knives are great when you're eating steak. You know what I'm saying? But they can be really dangerous in the hands of a creep. But does that mean we should get rid of the steak knives in our house? Does that mean that I should give someone immature a steak knife? No. Like, you want to give someone who knows how to use the tool for what it's for. And so that takes thoughtfulness, that takes maturity, and really you're on this journey with your kids that you want them to self-regulate. You want them to pursue wisdom for the goodness that it gives. You want them to love the right things and hate evil things because it will destroy them. So I think the third conversation, though, probably the best way to think about this is to think about a smartphone like a car, powerful piece of technology. You can do amazing things. You can travel with it, and you can also destroy your life and other people's lives. Mm-hmm. So when your kid turns 16, would you ever hand them the keys to the car and just say, good luck? No, you're going to train them. And there's going to be a process that happens that is government regulated and parent regulated and cost money and cost insurance and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that they know how to use this tool with wisdom. It's the same thing. You should never hand your 11-year-old a smartphone and say, what could go wrong? Or say, all my other friends are doing it. You know, I've asked groups of parents what their biggest competition is. You're trying to raise your kids. What's your biggest competition? One of the answers we've gotten back frequently is other parents. Mm. Like, God has not called you to steward somebody else's kids. Yeah. You know, you got to trust them with it. Yeah. And your kid needs to know that you don't own them. They are God's, but you're in charge. Just because their 11-year-old friend has a smartphone with full access to everything on it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to give them a smartphone with full access to everything on it. But you also want to tell them, so this is the third conversation, it's basically driver's ed for the phone, is that we're on a journey and it has a destination. And the destination in driver's ed is that I'm not driving the passenger seat with you. You're on your own and I trust you and you can make the right decisions and you can utilize this amazing tool, which is the car. Same thing with a smartphone. I am going to get you a smartphone at some point, and there's going to be limits and boundaries on it, and you're going to hate me for it, but that's okay. We're doing it because I love you, and I want what's best for you. And then you're going to prove to me over time that I can trust you, and hopefully by your junior or senior year in high school, I'm not going to be peering over your shoulder all the time because mm-hmm. I have seen you self-regulate. I've seen you self-govern yourself and realize, yeah, there's certain things that I don't need to have on this. Mm-hmm. There's certain things where this is causing me to have worse relationships instead of better relationships. There's certain distractions on this that's keeping me from God. Back to the App Store. Or not, sorry. We're like sitting at a table right here across from each other, everyone who's listening, so we have a lot of great nonverbals going on.
So
we're making faces. And,
bring this back to prayer, David.
All right.
About, like, what are some things that we should pray for Gen Z? That's just in case nobody's familiar with
high schoolers
that term,
right
Gen
now.
Z. How are we praying strategically for them right now? Like, if you were to boil it down to a couple of prayers that you're praying for the next generation right now, tell me what those are.
I'm praying for my child to be wise. Mm. So instead of saying be careful, I will say be wise. Mm-hmm. Careful kind of leans to this, and that's kind of a weird thing I do, but it's just kind of more, it starts off fear-based. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I just want you to be wise. And so being wise means sometimes you might not be careful. It means you might take a risk for someone else. It means you might choose the adventure over, you know, the safe, comfortable setting. It might mean that you ask the girl out. That might, you know, you might be putting your heart at risk. And you might even be sacrificing your body a little bit for someone else in your life. So I want them to be wise. I want them to pursue wisdom. I think you always want to pray for patience for yourself as you're connecting with their heart. So you always want to be incarnational, just like Jesus put on flesh and came to the earth. You want to put on the teenage flesh, so to speak, and say, I'm going to remember what it felt like to be 15 years old and a boy who thought every girl was beautiful, or a girl who thought every boy could be her husband. You know, like, I'm going to try to remember what it felt like and enter into that world with her or with him and try to have that empathy and understanding, and then say, hey, tell me a little bit about that. I think another thing, some of my buddies, they have a counseling group, and they think about three things: story, experience, and blessing. And I'd be praying for chances to hear your child's heart and not miss those moments. So why do you like that? Well, tell me more. I want to hear the story. Mm-hmm. Having that posture of curiosity. Next, thinking of ways that you can create experiences. I mean, Jesus, like, would drag his disciples through these crazy experiences, and then he would teach them about it. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't teach them first. A lot of times he's like, we're just going to do that. And they're like, why are all these pigs everywhere? You know, like, we're not supposed to be over here and in these tombs with this unclean person. Like, what's going on? So he would do things first, and then he would teach them about it. So giving them that experience, mm-hmm. and then always finding for ways to bless them. So story, experience, blessing. You don't want to try to shame them into the correct behavior so that they're so excited to leave your house and experiment with sin. You want them to see the blessing of God on this world so that they have no appetite for that, because they know it's going to lead to death and lead to brokenness and fragmentation. So I would pray around those things. I just love wisdom literature. I love Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Psalms. I if you can read a proverb with your kid and pick a different one each day and just say, what's wise about that? I mean, I just think there's cool opportunities. Try to do things with them. Don't let them what? You know, maybe I'm too old school for this, but I hate earbuds or ear pods or Beats or whatever you have on, whatever the cool headphones are, because I think music is best in community, and I love music. So I want us to share and appreciate and find beautiful things. If there's a movie, let's watch it together. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. And not just because we're analyzing everything, but because we have an appetite that it appreciates beautiful things and good storytelling.
Well, it's interesting because I catch myself sometimes really trying to listen to some of the things I would never listen to, or I mean, the kinds of music that I wouldn't listen to normally, because my son's listening to them and I'm trying really hard to like it, even though I don't know, you know. And same with movies, because we're doing it together. And
right.
I've learned things about him doing those things together, and it's really helped me understand him, and then it leads to some other conversations. But I've had to really push myself out of my comfort zone, just because, you know, I wouldn't normally. I've learned some things about him that way, so I appreciate you saying that. But you really have to push your natural inclinations.
I found myself the other day driving in the van, and I mean Brendan turned on the radio station. He was, you know, just, I don't know, rocking out to, and I was just like, I don't know if I can handle this.
Yeah,
at the end of the day,
right?
You know, like, just stay in it. And you told me earlier, David, that one of the first things to do is to just not react, to very carefully choose your facial expressions. I think that's just try not to react.
Try to appreciate it if you can. A story: there is a mom who got in a car accident, became a quadriplegic, decided to give her life back to Christ, lives in Africa, South Africa, has a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old, daughters that are agnostic, and she's a single mom. Okay, so all these things. Oof. And so she gives her life back to Christ. She decides to, like, try to work on her relationship with her daughters. And so she hops on Access Resources, and she's watching the Parenting Teen Summit and reading parent guides and reading the Culture Translator. And the question in the back of her mind is, will my daughters find this offensive? That I am, you know, I'm spying on their world. I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to figure it out and have conversations with them. And her daughters said, I just appreciate you understand me better now, Mom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they felt loved by that. So even if you feel like, even if I'm trying to enter into my kids' world, they're just going to think I'm an idiot for doing it. Who knows what they're going to say, but deep down they're going to say, my mom loves me.
Mm-hmm.
She loves me enough to, like, try to figure out why I like this video game. And I just remember my mom, man, it was a strawberry milkshake and she could make me talk. She would just take me out for a strawberry milkshake.
About boys.
Man, yes. We're just suckers. And then all of a sudden you're like, Mom can't get me to talk about anything milkshake, and here I am telling her about all the girls and my, you know, or the guys, or what I'm frustrated about baseball or in band or whatever. You find that experience that opens their heart, and that'll be the best $3 you ever spent, right? So try to find those moments. And again, with the smartphone idea, I think you have to super limit things. And they have to know that you love them, and that you're fighting for them, and that you want them to grow into a place where you give them freedom. I mean, that's their goal. You're not raising kids, you're raising adults. So you want them to reach into that space. I said four conversations earlier. I want to make sure I hit this for all you firstborns who are listening to this, like
What's
me.
What's the fourth line?
it's just to remind them all the time that they can tell you anything. Mm-hmm. You want them to come to you. And there are going to be tough times where you have to say, my child is innocent right now, and they are 9 years old, and I would really love to have the sex talk when they're 13, which is 4 years from now, but I want to have the conversation first. And so I'm going to have to introduce this topic prematurely and break through some of their precious innocence instead of having their other 10-year-old friend introduce them to something else. And then you want them to know that they can come to you. And they need to know that they can come to you and you're going to be fair. You're not going to let them get away with stuff, but you are going to be fair and you have their best interests at heart and that you are for them. You should tell them that you are for them frequently. I love you. I'm proud of you. I am for you. I want you to succeed. I am here in your corner. You just feel like all your friends are just trying to beat you down to make themselves feel better. This is world of comparison that just, you know, comparison kills community.
Yes, it does.
I think I heard you say that, Lee, earlier.
It does. You know, David, it's so fun to be able to talk to you. And we love your resources that you have available, and we want to encourage our moms to check those out. Can you go ahead and give us that website one more time?
Yeah, Axis, AXIS.org. If you go there, we'll give you all the tools you need. And Axis just means what's at the center of your life, what's the center of your family. And we're always thinking of the intersection of family, faith, and culture. So intersection between parents and their kids, theological ideas, cultural ideas, and just what's going on in our world right now.
I love it that you are helping us pray on the offense instead of from a place of fear, praying and engaging. I mean, because we, not one of us wants to stay in a place of fear. Mm-hmm. So David, thank you so much for joining us today. And I just really want to thank you for having Sally on the Axis Summit, bringing us into that conversation about prayer, about families. I got to be on there this last time, and that was so great. But we just want to encourage our Moms in Prayer family to check this out. You guys are having some really, really smart conversations about raising kids in this generation. So we just love you guys so much. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do.
And what I would say is the dream for Axis is that we disappear in the background. There's no one like that mom or dad relating with their kid, having those conversations. We want you to outsource some of this research to us. You're busy and tired. You got a lot going on. But again, we're resourcing you to connect with your kid, to be the hero that they need, to be the influence, that constant in their life that is for them. We love Moms in Prayer. You guys are such a powerful group who are passionate about your kids. So this is a huge honor for us. Thanks for having me on.
Would you pray us out?
Yes, I would love to.
I love it.
God, thanks so much for your love for us. Thanks so much for your goodness and your faithfulness. And with our precious children, whether they be 5, like my daughter Shiloh is right now, or 14-year-olds, or 16, or 18, or 29-year-olds, give us patience, give us wisdom, help us to maintain that heart connection. But we trust you, God. We trust you with our kids. Mm-hmm. They are yours. They are not ours. It's a privilege to get to love them and care for them and disciple them. And God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would fill us with wisdom to know when to keep our mouth shut and when to take a stand, how to listen well and not to shame them, but instead to show them the beauty of the gospel of reconciliation, redemption. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death and resurrection. And thank you for the way that he shows us a new way, a new truth, a new life. A new way to be human, a new way to live in this world. God, thanks so much for these moms in prayer. Oh, my word, I love them. And I love the ministry that they have their kids. Encourage them, God, and give them strength. Amen.
Amen.
what a blast to have my friends David and Esta with me. If you want to connect with David off the podcast, you can follow him at axis.org. Aren't you so glad to know that we aren't in this parenting thing alone, that we do not have to have the whole thing figured out? I praise God for other ministries who are helping pay attention to this culture and help us navigate as parents. And of course, our greatest resource, our greatest fight in the battle is prayer. You can find our show notes for today at momsandprayer.org. And you want to subscribe to our podcast. I'm sure you do by now. So go ahead, hit the subscribe button wherever you are listening to our podcast so that it's always in your inbox whenever we drop an episode. And it will be so helpful to us as we continue to get started if you would leave a review so other people can find out about us. You're going to want to keep your eyes peeled this week in your feed for a bonus episode. We're going to be talking with Kendra Rock about the Summer Stand and Shaken Bible Study. It's 4 weeks long, online, completely free. Most Moms in Prayer groups don't meet over the summer, but we know you want to stay engaged with Moms in Prayer. So starting July 10th, each Tuesday morning, you'll be emailed video and study questions. It lasts 4 weeks, and it really requires very little effort to host a Bible study in your home or to do it on your own. So be paying attention to that. I always love to stay connected with you guys, and I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Leaning Heist. And Moms in Prayer posts encouragement and equipping tools for moms and prayer warriors as Moms in Prayer International across all those platforms every single day. Their daily prayers are a lifeline for this busy mom. Moms make the difference. Moms having really, really tough conversations. Moms just like you.